Hey, folks, this is Mo and McGee on Fantasy. Kevin, it's almost here. Can smell it. The rookies are reporting to training camp. Most teams this week. It's time to dive right back in.
Yeah, it's right on the doorstep. It's time to start talking about this stuff. You should have been talking about it for months now, but now it is nose to the grindstone, hard-hitting analysis at your feet.
Yeah, I've been talking to myself about it. So, you know, I guess it's time to dole out a little bit of wisdom. I don't, like I said many times, I'm not going to give out all my little trade secrets, but just enough to help you guys out.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, I think the idea here is we're going to do a deep dive in every division, both conferences, pick out a couple players, talk about their teams. You know, some of it will be, you know, real life fantasy or football. Some of it will be fantasy. The show is called Mo and McGee on Fantasy, so most of it's going to be fantasy centric. But, you know, we might give out some win totals here and there. We might give out some betting tips here and there. And people know what our shtick is by now.
Yeah. I mean, we have the information. We'd be just evil to withhold that from you guys. So, some division predictions, talk about our favorite players, and even some of the players that we're not all that high on. And, of course, we're going to be starting with the NFC, give you all four divisions this week, four different episodes, and I cannot wait to talk about the Baker trade. But we'll save that for the third one.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned we're going to have four episodes. They're probably around 30 minutes each, except for the Vikings episode, because that's going to a little long on that one. But what we want to do first is we had Derek Hubbard from Derek's Mega Bowl on a few weeks ago. So I'm excited about that, Kevin. I just got my division assignment. I'm in the Backstreet Boys division. We have 96. The Mega Bowl is going to be capped at 96 teams this year. There's still a few spots available. Kevin, what division are you in?
I'm in the NSYNC division. So I think we're definitely in the two powerhouse divisions. It'll be rubbing elbows, but go and sign up. Get it assigned to the your division, and hopefully you don't land in Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, because you won't be making it out of there with a bye.
Yeah, and you can sign up by emailing Derek at DereksMegaBowl@yahoo.com. That's Derek Hubbard, Hubbard, MegaBowl@yahoo.com. Go sign up so we can take your money, and well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your donation in advance.
What division are we starting with on episode one, Kevin? NFC.
Yeah, in the NFC, we're starting off with the East, and we'll go in order, backwards order, of my predictions for division standings. So at the bottom of the East, we're going to have the Giants, I think, to basically nobody's surprise. I think, by and large, picked to finish last in the NFC East. What can you tell me about the Giants this year?
Well, I'm excited about this receiving core, to be honest with you. I don't think any of them are going to finish super high in fantasy, but I like these kind of dart throws as flexes. Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay. Wandale Robinson was one of my more favored draft wide receivers. And then you still have Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. So it's a crowded room. Someone can separate themselves. I mean, Kenny Galladay is on a massive contract, Kevin. So you'd think he's going to be pretty heavily targeted. But I think the story here has got to be centered around Saquon.
Yeah, I think Saquon's probably where most of the debate's going to be. I know that I'm pretty high on him. He falls in my top 10 running backs. Not a lot of people have him there. But if the offense is at least capable this year with that receiving core, you should get plenty of red zone looks. And we, of course, know what Saquon can do in the passing game. We haven't seen it yet with Daniel Jones, But there's the potential to get 10 catches in a game, you know, run one of those in for a touchdown and take your 60, 70 yards on top of it. And that's a pretty good day.
Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of Daniel Jones' last ride. Really under the radar signing was Tyrod Taylor. The Giants have Tyrod Taylor this year. And I think if we see Danny Dimes, you know, struggle mightily first six games, we might see Tyrod Taylor, which, you know, he's proven to be a pretty capable starter. He's not a star. He's not a franchise guy, but he can distribute the ball. And certainly with his running ability, Saquon Barkley's lanes might open up a little bit. You guys know my stance by now. Kevin, you mean I talk your ear off about it. Saquon is him and Christian McCaffrey are the two riskiest first round picks you're going to have to make. You could get the RB1 if you pick either of them, or you could get four games. It depends on how risky do you want to be in the first round. There's a great article that was written in The Athletic about first round picks. Should you go safe? Should you go risk, high upside? I'm more risk averse than you, I think.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think we're surprising anybody with that claim. I'm of the opinion that first two rounds, go out, make sure you have guys that can be league winners, and you like to lock up a guy that's going to be a solid 20 points, solid 18 points. And that's why you're not as good at fantasy as me.
That's laughable, Kevin. Read me any of your success stories that could better mine. Zero.
I finished higher in the Mega Bowl last year.
Okay, well, I finished higher in our fantasy league. I finished higher in the playoff challenge. I have two championships. I have two championships to your one. Multiple championship game appearances.
Well, you play in enough leagues, you're going to win a couple. That's all I have to say. Well, good job.
Okay.
You're talking about underrated signings with the Giants. And, you know, maybe one thing that sours Saquon for me a little bit is they did get Matt Breida, who, of course, is his MO is to catch the ball. So do we see Saquon come out on more third downs than we used to in the past? Keep him a little bit fresher, keep him healthier. It's definitely on the table. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I'm betting on it's not, but I think we'd be remiss to not call out that risk.
Yeah, and I think the idea is not just with the Giants, but spreading around football is that, okay, we have this really good running back. How can we prolong his peak? Because their peak starts as soon as they get drafted. Yeah. And it lasts for 3 to 4 years. And so you've seen the Vikings do that with Alexander Mattison getting 10-ish touches a game. I think the Giants probably know what kind of risk they're running out there with, you know, trying to get Saquon Barkley 300 touches. I just don't see that's realistic. But pulling up Mike Clay's season projections, he has Saquon Barkley 884 rushing yards, then 52 catches for 400 receiving yards. He projects him about the 16th best running back in football this year. And he does have Breida coming in and you know, running for 300 yards and catching 20 passes. So that is, you know, not a small share of that workload.
So how high would you draft Saquon? If he keeps slipping past, you know, maybe where I would take him, when would you hop on him?
Yeah, if I'm in the back end of the first round, and you're staring at, you know, maybe him or Zeke Elliott, that second tier of receivers. Like Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, you know, that's where it's that's where you do the upside play. You know, you'd almost really love to have the last pick, so you could take Saquon and one of those guys, kind of pair a safer option with a riskier one. And I do think if you draft him in the first round, your second round pick has to be a safe play, like a Stephon Diggs, someone who you know is just going to be a consistent point getter, because you might lose out on Saquon for a couple weeks, for, you know, half games, potentially for the full season.
But what's the fun in fantasy if you don't lose your first two for your first two picks in the draft? Oh,
yeah, no, I drafted Michael Thomas 6th overall 2 years ago, and he hasn't played since. So it's been fun.
Well, last question on the stinky Giants, Kenny Galladay or the field? Who's the highest point getter in the receiving corps?
I'm taking the field, and I'm taking it purely because of Kadarius Toney. If he has his head on straight, if he stays healthy, I think he could be a really solid wide receiver 3. Just has great game-breaking, you know, open field agility, and he can take almost anything to the house. And those are the kind of guys you like to have in your flex play. If you don't have a safer option, someone who, you know, might get 4 to 5 catches, but one of those could be for 70 yards and a tutty. Last question for you, Kevin. Where are the Giants picking? 1 through 3 or around the 8 through 10 range next year in the NFL draft?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go after pick 3. It is a really tough division. They may have 6 losses in the division, but I think the Falcons will be worse. I think the Seahawks will be worse. And then give me one team from the rest of the NFL that, you know, maybe underperforms and slips in below the Giants. You know, it might be 4. It might be right there. But I'll take them outside of the top 3.
All right. Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. They've loaded up on defense in the last few drafts, with Xavier McKinney, Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, they have a not really nice defensive line. Be interesting. I think, you know, if Daniel Jones can take another leap, you know, you're potentially looking at a decent 8-9 win team that can get them out of the cellar. But that's, you're putting a lot on Danny Dimes' shoulders there.
Yeah, more than he's shown that he can carry so far, but potentially. Moving on to 3rd place in the NFC East. This might surprise some folks. Oh, no. I'm getting a finger wave.
Go ahead. I don't agree with you here, though, Kevin.
I have the Eagles, and I think this will be surprising for some folks. I think a lot of people expected a different team in the 3 spot, but I have the Eagles finishing 3rd, primarily because I'm not sure their defense can carry enough. They do have Darius Slay, Anthony Harris, you know, a pretty solid defensive line. I just don't know if they'll be able to put all the pieces together defensively. Jalen Hurts, as much as I like him in fantasy, is going to turn the ball over. And he will end up, he'll probably win them some games that they shouldn't win, but he's also going to lose them some games that they shouldn't lose.
Yeah. As for the whole team, I'm way higher on them. I think they win the NFC East. They have right now, they have the easiest schedule according to, you know, ESPN. I mean, listen to this schedule. They start off with Detroit, win. Then they play Monday night against my Vikings. That's a loss for them. But then they get the Commanders, Jacksonville, Arizona, probably a loss. Depends on what you think of Dallas. They have Dallas. But they play Houston. They play the Giants. They play the Bears. So they're getting the NFC North. They're getting the AFC South, which has some weaker teams. I like the Eagles this year, man. And they added A.J. Brown. They added James Bradbury to the secondary. They drafted N'Kobe Dean. Pretty nice defensive line with Javon Hargrave, who they just drafted. Or no, Jordan Davis, who they just drafted. Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick. Kevin, you know, I think you're wrong here.
And, you know, maybe I'm willing to be. I just think that the Commanders and the Cowboys, you're giving them a little bit of the short stick. I think those are two better teams. Might play a little bit tougher schedule. But they're going to play all those same NFC North opponents. We're going to rack up wins there. Can A.J. Brown stay in the field? Can Miles Sanders stay on the field? A lot of question marks.
And Devonta Smith stay on the field. I think this whole fantasy conversation, we know Jalen Hurts is going to be a stud. We know Dallas Goedert's going to probably be a top 10 tight end because he's a number one starter on a team that, you know, throws their tight end. There's just not many of those. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. Is A.J. Brown a wide receiver one in your mind? Because I don't think he is for me.
Yeah, I don't think A.J. Brown nor Devonta Smith end up wide receiver ones. We talked about it with the A.J. Brown trade on the last episode that I think Devonta Smith will be criminally underdrafted and he'll have good fantasy value because of the attraction of A.J. Brown. But for me, outside of Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, and Devonta Smith, I'm not sure that there's going to be good value fantasy-wise on this team. But hammer those three for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts is not going to be a fantasy stud because of his passing ability. He's going to be a fantasy stud because he's going to run for 800 yards and 10 touchdowns, potentially. is there going to be enough volume for A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert to do something? I think so. Just don't draft A.J. Brown expecting him to be a wide receiver one, and don't draft Devonta Smith thinking he's going to be an every week wide receiver two. I think you just downgrade those slightly to, you know, Devonta Smith is maybe an emerging wide receiver two that you can get for a wide receiver three or four price, like you said. And then A.J. Brown, I think people are going to draft him too high, probably going to have to stay away from him. But if you can get him in the late second, early third, I think you can do worse at wide receiver two than A.J. Brown.
What about in the backfield? Miles Sanders, all the way across? No Kenneth Gainwell this year?
I love my Kenny Gainwell. He's stuck on my roster all year. I thought they were going to give him the job at various points. They just never fully committed. Seems like they've never fully committed to Miles Sanders either, because Boston Scott trots out there for a lot of reps every game. I just have no idea where those three are going to get playing time each week, and that scares me a bit. Hey, if Miles Sanders drops to the fifth round for me, I'll gladly scoop him up. If Kenneth Gainwell is there at the end of drafts, I'll gladly scoop him up. He might be there. Miles Sanders is going to get drafted too high. He's a starting running back. They're going to fly off the board. But I think I'm staying away from the backfield. What about you?
Yeah. And one thing that I think kind of got snuck by a lot of people, on NBC Sports, Philly's takeoff with John Clark, Miles Sanders was on, and the question came up, should we draft you in fantasy? And he gave the typical, I hate fantasy, but then he was very adamant, do not draft me in fantasy, and proceeded to talk about how he just needed opportunity and things along those lines. So that cools me a lot on Miles Sanders. If he's concerned about his opportunity and workload, I think you should be twice as concerned.
Yeah, that's what I heard that. And I think he said even something more specific where it was like, they don't want to run me or something like that. It was some direct quote where he said they don't like to give me a lot of touches or something. Yeah. And yeah, if he's saying that, And then you look at his backups, Kenneth Gainwell, who they drafted last year, Boston Scott, who I think Nick Sirianni just likes Boston Scott. There's just not a lot to love about Miles Sanders if you're trying to draft him in the fourth round.
Yeah. So for me, I'm staying away from both. If they slip, you know, maybe I'll scoop them up reluctantly, but I'm out on this backfield as well.
Yeah, and I've liked to draft the Eagles running backs because it should be a nice, pretty nice fantasy offense. But I think a lot of the, you know, the scoring is going to come from Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, and the wide receivers. So staying away, Kevin, staying away. Just like your pick to have them third in the division, staying away from that.
I think you're sleeping on the next team, the Washington Commanders. Listen to this lineup. Terry McLaurin, stud. Jahan Dotson, stud. Curtis Samuel, Shoney can be very good at times. Antonio Gibson, stud. We're going to skip the quarterback. Yep, that's for sure. But that defense drastically underperformed last year. That is still, I think, the most imposing defensive line, aside from maybe the Chargers. Maybe the Bills, but, you know, definitely a top three defensive line. If the secondary can get their shit together, this team is going to contend for the NFC East title. I just don't know that they'll be able to beat out the Cowboys for it.
Yeah, the defense should be really good. I guess it's all going to come down to Duck Commander, huh? The redheaded wonder, Carson Wentz. I think they're going to go to Taylor Heinicke at some point this season.
But they showed last year that that isn't always all that bad. Got him to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Didn't look bad.
No, and I think the idea of quarterback play in the NFL has become skewed because of your Josh Allen's, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, where it's like, you know, not every team is going to have some really dynamic, great player. You know, look at Kirk Cousins. He's made a nice little career for himself. He's not flashy. He can't get out of the pocket and sling sidearm throws 50 yards down the field, but it's shown pretty consistent. Carson Wentz has shown you that he is going to shipwreck games for you. He's going to throw back-breaking interceptions. And for Ron Rivera, I just don't get the thought process because he's built a really good defense, like you mentioned. You want a very safe option at that position. Someone who's not going to turn the ball over and do a quick change. Especially when you said there's some really nice options. Terry McLaurin, I am going to hammer Terry McLaurin in most of the second and third rounds that I, depending on draft pick, I think anywhere from pick 20 to 30, he's a lock for me. Think he'll be a nice high-end wide receiver too. And depending on which Carson Wentz we get, potentially wide receiver one. Jahan Dotson, I don't know anything about, and he was pretty good at Penn State. Have to see him in the NFL. Curtis Samuel interests me. I hate that they buried Cam Sims, though, because I was excited to see what Cam Sims could potentially do, but he is just buried on the depth chart.
Yeah, he might, if he's not, he might not even be in the top four, because they did draft Diami Brown also last year. Cam Sims is buried. Terry McLaurin, I agree with you, hammering him all over the place. If you look at the list of wide receivers that can get 13 to 15 targets in a single game, he lands on that short list, and it's not a very long list. That's why it's called a short list. Can Carson Wentz get him the ball and not turn it over so that some of those looks are in the red zone? Debatable. But I think if Carson Wentz is bad, they can, at a pretty low cost, just move on, go right to Heinicke. He always plays with a chip on his shoulder, but it'll be extra large. If he has to start the season as a backup, the thing that I get stuck on is this damn backfield. And it's plagued me, I think, for three straight years that Antonio Gibson's been there. JD McKissick signs with the Bills. Just kidding. He did not. He's scooped up. back in Washington. So that should be the end of the worries. No, they go and draft Brian Robinson as well. By the way, Jared Patterson got some playing time last year, even though he shouldn't have. I don't know what to do about Antonio Gibson because I love the player, but I hate the situation.
Yeah, that's kind of red flags galore, right? So JD McKissic, a guy who took almost all the third down work from him last year, came back. I'm sure the reason he came back from signing with the Bills is Ron Rivera had to probably promise him some decent playing time, right? You don't sign with one team and then go to another if you don't think you're going to play much. And then, yeah, they drafted a kind of a bruiser running back from Alabama. So what is exactly Antonio Gibson's role here? He's not a three-down workhorse. And then now with Brian Robinson and Jarrett Patterson, I'm worrying about goal line stuff. I already am worrying about a little bit with Carson Wentz. You know, he kind of likes to flop in there every now and then. Yeah. So what exactly are we going to get from Antonio Gibson? Last year was supposed to be the breakout year, right? Last year he had really what we thought no competition. There was a lot of hype. Matthew Berry was, I think, on every show, like, wanting to draft him as a first rounder. And then he kind of was all right. He had some big games. I just am so worried about it. Third round, I'd take a flyer. If you're asking me if I'd draft him in the second round, I think I'd have to pass.
Yeah, ADP is currently 36. There at the end of the third is when you're probably going to have to make that decision. At that cost, you know, I'm probably in on him just because he's a guy that can take it 70 yards to the house. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with some shit weeks where he had 10 carries for 40 yards and no catches, but he'll also win you a week at, you know, if you can get him in the fourth, relatively low cost.
And maybe these red flags are there prodding a bear, right? Maybe he goes into the season feeling pretty disrespected about the draft pick, JD McKissic coming back. And there were some definite games last year where it was just like, feed him the rock. He's going to take us. And he would bust off 10-yard run after 10-yard run. Are they going to let him do that? I don't know. But at that price, end of third round, early fourth round, I'm all in on that price. Any higher, I start worrying a little bit.
Anything left on the Commanders? Otherwise, we'll go to the future NFC East champions.
Yeah, I just want to ask you, you watched a lot of Curtis Samuel. Is there any fantasy value there being the wide receiver 3 or potentially 2?
Yeah, I think if Terry McLaurin goes down, he'll be probably already rostered elsewhere. So in season, you probably won't be able to pivot towards him. I don't like drafting him just because with them bringing in Jahan Dotson and with Carson Wentz at quarterback and a loaded backfield where in the past where we saw him being fantasy relevant, he was getting some backfield touches. I don't think he's going to have that opportunity as much this year. So I'm probably out on Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, I figured. I'd love to get a look at what Jahan Dotson looks like in this offense before I draft him. You're not going to have that opportunity, obviously. I love Terry McLaurin. I think if I don't go tight end early, Logan Thomas is a nice later round tight end pick. So just thought I'd mention him. And then, I might sprinkle a little on, you know, a late round JD McKissic, maybe a late round Brian Robinson, just to see what happens in that backfield.
Now on to the future NFC East champions. Our good friend Ryan Woods will be pretty excited about this, but you can lock in the Cowboys as the East champions. I don't know what the odds are in that yet, but I think there's going to be a lot of people probably a little bit down on them after losing Amari Cooper, but I think Zeke's coming back healthier. We've seen what Dak Prescott can do. Dalton Schultz, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup will come back partway through the season. And that defense played pretty well last year. I definitely think that they'll probably get 4 wins in the division. And then, you know, have some tough battles outside of that, but I think it'll be enough.
Yeah, I think when you look at their pass rushing, you know, on the defense, you got DeMarcus Lawrence, Dante Fowler, Micah Parsons, all coming after the quarterback. That's pretty nasty group. And then, you know, can Trayvon Diggs, he's not going to have that many interceptions, but can him and Anthony Brown lock down on the back end? It'll be interesting to see. I'm definitely more excited about the offense because I don't know if you saw this, Kevin, but Zeke Elliott posted a workout video yesterday. Woo, looking trimmed. He was making a bunch of clean cuts. Is Zeke
flying
back
up the draft boards?
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how hurt Ezekiel Elliott must have been last year because I believe in the talent too much to believe that that was anything but him playing hurt.
Yeah, he played terrible last year. I still love drafting Tony Pollard because I think if he gets that job, he's going to be an RB1. I just don't know. Zeke was so frustrating last year because he was clearly injured but played every game. So you couldn't start Tony Pollard with confidence, even though he is going to get 10 touches, seems like, every game, which is not bad if you're drafting people in the way later rounds, talking about rounds, you know, 10 plus. But yeah, where do you draft Zeke is my question.
Well, current ADP has him, I believe, as in the second round, pulling it up. At 32, actually. So that's in the third. And yeah, I would be drafting Zeke every time at pick 32 if he was there. I've always been of the opinion that you should be loading up on running backs, especially in those first three rounds. And for me, I would draft him in the second, certainly, probably mid to late second.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. He probably has a little bit of, you know, he wants to show people that he still is a viable player. He got a lot of shit last year for not performing after he got that big contract. So can he fight Tony Pollard off and be a star? I think there might be one or two more Zeke Elliott seasons left, and we know he's getting the goal line work, so that is a big plus there. Let's talk about the passing game a little bit. You mentioned some of the weapons, but after CeeDee Lamb, it gets a little bit gross. Jalen Tolbert right now is slotted as their wide receiver 2 without Michael Gallup. Then you have James Washington and someone named Noah Brown.
We saw Noah Brown put up okay fantasy weeks last year, though. I don't think that receiving core will be bad enough to tank them, is, I guess, my opinion. Do I want Noah Brown? No. Do I want Jalen Tolbert? Maybe, but probably not. Do I want James Washington? No. But CeeDee Lamb, I think, can backpack that team. Once they have Gallup back, that'll be another huge addition. And, you know, maybe this is a Dalton Schultz point, is just with that wide receiving core being so barren and him doing so well last year that, you know, we should be hammering on Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, when we did our rankings, I had CeeDee Lamb as my third receiver. I think he's going to have a monster season. I'm also really high on Michael Gallup. I really do think once he comes back from suspension, he is going to be a pretty big fantasy force. I'm not going to go out and say he's going to be like a wide receiver 2, but I think you could do far worse in your flex spot than plugging in Michael Gallup when he gets back.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's it for the Cowboys. I think maybe the last point on why I think Zeke and Tony Pollard are both should be coveted more highly than they already have is what the Cowboys have done to invest in their offensive line. Still have Tyron Smith, still have Zach Martin. They went out and drafted, spent a first rounder on another offensive lineman this year in Tyler Smith. They're prepared to hammer the rock. If they can't push it through the air, they will run it through the tackles, and I think they'll be able to do that successfully.
Yeah. Last thing, Dak. Where did he fall? I did the QB list, right?
Yep.
And I don't even know where I placed Dak. Mike Clay loves Dak Prescott, has him ranked as the fifth best fantasy quarterback. Would you spend a sixth round pick on Dak Prescott?
I would not, because there are quarterbacks that I think in that range I like a little bit better. And also I think that there's so many good quarterbacks that I'm going to be able to scoop up in the very late rounds, those being Trey Lance. Lamar Jackson is probably going to be, you know, not late, but drafted way later than he should. Joe Burrow will probably go later than he should. I just think that I'll be able to scoop up value at the quarterback position and other places a little bit better.
All right. Well, six rounds probably a little too high. And I've walked out of fantasy drafts with Kirk Cousins as my quarterback. So I don't need to draft a quarterback early to, you know, like you said, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this league. And you can usually piecemeal your quarterback position. Kevin, that's the NFC East. We wrapped it up. So you think it will go Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles, Giants at the bottom. I think it's going to go. My stance is Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Giants. It looks like you have a lot more respect for the Commanders than I do. But we shall see.
We shall see. But you've been listening to Mo and McGee on Fantasy. We'll catch you next week or next episode with the NFC North.
Boy. See you, folks.